Well, yesterday we looked at overcoming fear. And so today we're going to look at following. And today, the first teaching, what I'm going to do this morning is following Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. So I have to tell kind of an embarrassing incident to start off this morning. Many years ago, I had the privilege of being in an outdoor education program called LEAD. And we were up there for a while hiking around, and I'm not really from the country, but I was kind of feeling Daniel Boone-like, so hiking around up there. So something happened, and that is when we were on a hike with a few people, I had to go to the bathroom. And there's not a lot of stalls out there in the wilderness. So there was all these people, and they were hiking around. And so I said, look, why don't you guys just go ahead and go, continue, and I'll grab this roll of toilet paper here, and then I'll find you again. So I went to the bathroom, and I looked around, and I couldn't find them. I got lost going to the bathroom, and that was not so good. And you know why I got lost? I got lost because I lost sight of them. And I had trouble following them because I didn't see where they were going, and I wasn't a great tracker. But I got lost because I lost sight of them. And that's really interesting, because if we want to follow along, we need to kind of look where we're going, or we need to keep who we're following in sight. By the way, tonight, later on, I'm going to lead a hike through the woods without a flashlight. If any of you guys would like to come, it's okay. No volunteers, I see. I wonder why. Let's take a look, please. Open your Bibles, and let's take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. On this journey, or this trial or trail of life, a lot of people have lost their way, or people lose their way along this trail of life. Some people follow their heart. Some people follow their gut. Some people follow political correctness, and some people follow political movements or follow other things. Joe got up here and he read some titles about people who wrote self-help books. Some people follow successful people. The teaching today, in light of being more than a conqueror, is to follow the most successful person that ever lived. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a conqueror in his walk. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 37, Romans chapter 8, take a look at Romans 8, 37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors through him. It's because of what he accomplished. He was the one that accomplished it. And of course, we've heard a lot of teachings on this so far. When we got born again, we confess Christ as our Lord. He's our master. He is the one that we said was our Lord. And when we do this, we believe God raised him from the dead. We are born again, and we have that spiritually more than conquerors. That's it. But in the walk, we need to continue to apply God's word. And that's what we're going to look at today, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 16, please. John 16. We are more than conquerors, super conquerors, hooper Nikeo. Does anybody have Nike shoes on today? You do? Nike shoes? Nike, that's Nikeo. It means victory. Same thing. Look at John chapter 16, please. John 16 and in verse 33. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation or pressure. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Nikael, Jesus Christ overcame the world. And then guess what? He passed on that victory to us. He overcame it. He beat death. He beat the adversary. He beat sin. He beat sickness. All these different things. He overcame it. And then in the new birth, we are more than conquerors over tribulation, over distress, over those things that Michael read last night. The destiny of every human being revolves around the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's seated in the heavenlies. Look at Acts chapter 3, please. So in this, our lives of endeavoring to walk as more than conquerors, we can follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3 and in verse 15. I think maybe Stephanie was reading somewhere around this yesterday. Acts 3:15. Here, Peter is talking to the Judean people there. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." So this, here it says, Prince of Life. The word prince in the Bible in the Greek is the word archegos, which means a trailblazer, a pioneer, a leader down the path. So here, if we put that meaning in here, it says, "And killed the leader down the path of life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Jesus Christ was the leader down the path of life. He lived, he died, he ascended into heaven. He's a trailblazer. He was the pioneer. He was and is God's chosen leader of all of humanity. And we as believers, we can play follow the leader. It's very simple in life. We just are to follow him. It's a no-brainer. We can follow him. So let's take a look historically a little bit how people followed the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look a little bit in the Old Testament. We'll look at the Gospels, and then we'll look at our time period right now. Look at Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and in verse 22. Acts 3:22. In the Old Testament, it was kind of, you know, Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. So it was different to follow him because he hadn't come yet. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 22, it says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Moses prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the people in the Old Testament, the prophets, they didn't know everything, but the prophets told them certain things that God wanted to tell them. Verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke and they told the people about some of the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 is an example of that. They even knew some of the stuff in the book of Romans, but they didn't know the mystery. The mystery was hidden. But some of the things people in the Old Testament could know. And their job was to believe that he was coming. Remember, the law was a tutor. It was a schoolmaster until Christ, all right? So in the Old Testament, they were to believe that he was coming. That was what they were to believe. In the Gospels, look at Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. In the Gospels, they could see him. They could hear him. They could touch him. They could walk behind him. They could see his example and literally walk in his steps. They were with the Master. Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and verse 18. Matthew 4, 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were what?
Fishers.
And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Sometimes when we read this verse and we don't quite have a scope of God's word, we just think that he walked over there to these dudes who were fishing and in like this Son of God voice, "Follow me." And they'd never seen him before, they'd never met him, and they just dropped everything and followed him. Now, sometimes the Bible, it doesn't record everything that was said, correct? So there could have been a long conversation there, and it really, we really don't know. Plus, another thing is, there's records before this record where Jesus Christ knew these guys. He knew them. So it wasn't like he walked over to two people, said, "Follow me," and they just followed along. There could have been a lot of stuff said here, and he knew them before. But they knew him, and they heard his voice. But they did something. They stopped, and they put down their net, and they followed him. It was a free will decision. They heard the voice of the Master, and they decided to stop what they were doing in their life at that time, and they decided to do something else based upon what Jesus Christ had said. And actually, that's the basic decision in life, isn't it? We hear the voice of the Master, or we follow the word or whatever, and we have a choice. We can choose to stop what we're doing and take a change of course and follow the Lord Jesus Christ or follow God's will. It's a free will decision, and they changed their mind and they did that. That is a day-by-day decision that we go through as believers. Look at John 14, please. John 14, verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. It says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by who?" You know, I get tired of my own way. My way isn't so good sometimes. And maybe we all get tired of the way that we've been at times. But there's something else. There's an alternative in life. And that is, he said, "I am the way." It's not one of many ways, but "I am the way. I am the truth." If he really is the way, and that's what God called him to be, there really is no alternative but to follow. If he really is the truth. Now, I know we use the truth. If some guy's a really good basketball player, people say, "Man, he's the truth." Well, he's not really the truth compared to this. He is the truth, and he is the life. If he is the way, the truth, and the life, there is no alternative but to follow along and do what the Master wants. He is the way back to God, and God had been waiting for that ever since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Take a look at John chapter 10, please. John 10. Some of us have been into God's word a long time, and we've been following the way for a long time. And some of us are learning a whole lot about all this stuff here, kind of getting into it. Look at John chapter 10, and in verse, John 10 and in verse 4. John 10 and in verse 4. It says, "And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because he beats the hell out of them." He gives them raviolis. "And he puts forth his own sheep, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You know, way back in Bible times, what they did, sometimes the shepherds would get together and they'd have like whatever, they'd have some little shepherd fellowship or eat together. I don't know what they do. But when all the shepherds were together, all the flocks would be mixed together and the flocks would be all mixed together. So then the shepherd decides, well, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go back up in the hills. So the shepherd just says, he calls the sheep, and his sheep separate out from the other sheep because they hear his voice and they follow along. We've separated ourselves out from the world, and now we're sanctified because we chose to follow the shepherd. Look at verse 27 here. Verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The shepherd really knew his sheep, and they followed him. You know, in the Bible, sheep sometimes are put for believers, aren't they? Do you know what animal is put for unbelievers? Goats. So why is a goat an unbeliever, and why is a sheep a believer, in a sense? So the sheep follow the master. The sheep follow the master. You know, a goat doesn't follow the master. He doesn't follow the shepherd at all. You know who he follows? He follows a leader of his own kind. He follows a goat leader. And he follows and believes the goat leader, and that's how he lives. He's an unbeliever who doesn't follow the master, but he follows one of his own kind. Pretty interesting. Look at John chapter 12, please. John 12. John 12 and in verse 26. John 12, 26. Now watch this. "If any man serve me, let him do what?" If any man serve me, let him do what? Follow me. "And where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor." So if somebody was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, a really great thing would be to follow him. How can you follow, or how can you serve unless you follow, if somebody was to serve him? So in the Bible, that when they had servants, the servant would just watch the hand of the master, and then that servant would do what the master said, or a command with a hand. So that servant needed to follow, needed to be around. Or if the master said, hey, go do this, that servant needed to follow and follow out his commandments. That's very much like us. If we want to serve God or serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a day-by-day decision or even a moment-by-moment decision to choose to follow along. This reminds me of Romans chapter 6. Let's go there. Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans 6. And in verse 16, Romans 6, 16. It says here, Romans 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So how can we tell who we're serving? We can tell who we are serving by who we are obeying. You got to serve somebody. And we can tell who we're serving by who we are obeying. So if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to serve him, that's related to obedience. Let's take a look now, please. How about 1 Peter chapter 2, please? 1 Peter. How can we follow him? He's not here. We don't hear his voice. We can't see him. We can't literally follow in his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is simple stuff, I know. But we can choose to follow if we want. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." So Jesus Christ isn't here, but we're to follow in his steps. We can't see him. We can't hear him. We can't touch him. We can't actually literally follow in his steps. But you know, maybe we can go to Nazareth and we can be tour guides and we could follow in his steps. Maybe we could go to Jerusalem and maybe we could rent crosses and go down the stations of the cross, if there were stations of the cross in Easter time. Maybe we can even crucify ourselves. Do you know that people do that? In the Philippines, people do that. I think there's a better way. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know, maybe it's kind of easier to follow the Lord Jesus Christ up here, but how about when we go back and we're sitting there with some unbelievers and they're doing some weird stuff? Are we going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at Colossians. Colossians 3, and in verse 16 it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ. It's the word that pertains or it's concerning Christ. So by following this word which pertains to Christ, then we follow in his steps. We learn about what Christ accomplished and then we utilize that in our life. We learn about our sonship rights and we use them. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. So now we can't follow him literally. He's not here physically, but we can follow him by learning God's word and by learning what we have and that by really applying it in our life. Ephesians chapter 5. This is a good one. Did Jesus Christ know the word? Did he accomplish a lot of cool things? Yeah, he overcame the world. We're more than conquerors. So we got that more than conquerors from him. So if we can learn about all that stuff, we can walk as more than conquerors. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in what? As Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." You know, Jesus Christ, everybody was nice to him because he was the Son of God. And it was very easy for him, wasn't it? You know, he loved all the time. He did what God wanted all the time. He didn't allow people to push his buttons. He didn't lose his temper and sin. He never even sinned once. He taught God's word. He loved people and brought the best out of people. And he gained that victory for us. You know, being up here this week, it's a pretty simple formula, isn't it? Bible, hot love, prayer, fellowship, and it works. It works. We're to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, more than conquerors. He lived a perfect life, and he loved. And that's what we're supposed to do. How about Galatians chapter 2, please? How are we to live our lives as believers? Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, Galatians 2:20, it says, "I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the believing of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So how do we live our life in the flesh? How do we live our life in the flesh? It says here, we live our life in the flesh by believing the Son of God. So what he accomplished, all these different things, how do we live our life? We live our life by believing. When we believe what he accomplished, then we follow in his steps. You know, my wife and I, we go to Atlanta once in a while to see our daughter and her husband and the Gilmores and the believers there. And we like to eat, you know. So now, suppose Eddie, when we go to Atlanta, suppose Eddie took us out for a nice dinner. And I think, Eddie, that would be a very good idea. Now, I'm just saying that in front of 85 people, okay? Now, Eddie's very nice, you know, and Eddie could take us to the nicest place in Atlanta, couldn't you? You could. He could take us to the nicest place, and when we go there, man, we're going to eat really nice, and it's going to be beautiful, and we'll have a great time. And then on the way out, instead of allowing Eddie's paid already. Instead of walking out, you know, what I try to do is I try to go pay for what Eddie just paid for. Am I accepting what Eddie did?
No.
I'm not at all. And then that's even worse because I only have 2 pennies in my pocket and I really can't pay for the meal. So number one, I'm trying to pay for something that somebody did for me and then I can't even pay it anyway. You know what I should have done and my wife should have done? We should have gone out, stepped out of the restaurant, given Eddie and Stephanie a big hug and said, "Man, that dinner really blessed me. We're going to be so happy because you loved us. And you know what? I'm going to do the same thing for somebody else." Instead, what I tried to do was pay for something that he already paid for. That's what Christians do, like Michael was talking about yesterday. People try to work for what Jesus Christ gave them already. We don't have to do that, but we should live the same way that he did as more than conquerors. Let's take a look at a couple other things here. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Tonight, we're going to find out a lot about what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, our sonship rights. And if we really know and we really believe these, that will help us in the more than a conqueror walk. Say you're talking to a devil spirit. Have you ever talked to a devil spirit? Have you ever? You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in me. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. But what's inside of us is bigger than what's inside of that other guy. And if we know who we are in Christ, then man, we can walk as he walked. Look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of who?
Us
and of the Lord." They followed the Lord Jesus Christ because they followed Paul. Paul led them to the Lord. So when talking about following here, we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're following him and people follow us, we lead them to Christ. That is so deep. We lead them to Christ. And it says in verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples unto all of them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your believing to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and those guys in Thessalonica, they followed Paul. Right in that area up in there, Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they followed Paul, and then they spread the word out, and then there was a whole bunch of people that followed the people that Paul had spoken the word to. Paul followed Christ, these other people followed Paul, and then the word sounded out from that whole area. Paul made an impact with his life because he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to make a spiritual impact with our lives, we need to believe who we are. And if we really believe who we are, we can carry out, we can do, we can bring deliverance to God's people and make an impact in the lives of the people that were around. The word sounded out from those people that followed him, and it was a tremendous movement of God's word. Some of us are getting older, and some of you guys are still really young. Even if we're older, we can make an impact with our lives. We can help folks along the way. You're not too old. And for your young guys, man, you got your life ahead of you. What do you want to do with your life? Make an impact with it. And the way to make a spiritual impact is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about going to fellowship once a week, bringing some Oreos and going home and doing nothing. I'm talking about really following the Lord Jesus Christ and really selling out to that whole thing. Pretty cool stuff. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 1 Corinthians 11. So, Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a follower. People followed him, and then other people followed them. and God's word really moved. Paul had an impact in his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of who?" Corinthians is a doctrinal epistle. Could you write that down, please? What? Did I make a mistake? Corinthians is a correctional epistle. Corinthians is in the Old Testament. All right, so Corinthians is a what? Corinthians points out practical error, doesn't it? Practical error. Corinthians points out practical error. How do you correct wrong practice? How do you correct wrong practice? One way to correct wrong practice is to give an example of right practice. Here in this book of reproof, which points out practical error, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me." That's an example of right practice. If I was painting with Will one day and he's an expert and I don't know much about painting, he could say to me, "Hey, Steve, I see you're really trying, but you might want to hold the brush this way, just like I am." And he would give me an example of right practice. It's interesting to look here where Paul asks people to be followers of him. Another book where that is, it's in Philippians. And Philippians is also a reproof epistle pointing out practical error. So one way to correct wrong practice is right practice. And there we can follow the example, the believing of people, and that will help us to practice God's word. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and in verse 2. You know, I had trouble following those people because I lost sight of them. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 2 it says, "Looking unto who?" Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. How do we do that? In the word and by thinking about it after. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the author and finisher of our believing. We're to look at him, think about him, and if we're looking at him, it makes it a lot easier to follow. It's easy to get distracted as we go along through life, but what we need to do is bring our minds back so that we focus. And the world is designed to make us look in a certain way, but we can choose to bring our mind back. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our believing, who for the joy that was set before him. Was there a lot of joy like suffering on the cross? That must have been pretty painful. He could have walked off that cross. He could have said, "Forget about it," and he didn't. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw the joy of what he was going to accomplish, and he thought less of the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He had a hard life. He had a hard life, and the spirits wanted to just ruin him, and he had a hard life, and he had a horrible death, but he never gave up, and he won the victory, and he overcame the world. And because of what he got for us, we have victory. The greatest victory that is ever had in the whole world is ours, and now all we have to do is just learn to live it, to accept it, and to walk in his steps as more than conquerors. That's pretty cool, I think. Look at Romans chapter 12 to close. So we're to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most successful man that ever lived. He overcame the world and he passed on the victory to us. He's the leader down the path of life. He's God's leader for humanity. We can follow the leader. We confessed him as Lord, and now spiritually we're more than conquerors in every situation. And for today, we are to walk in his steps by believing and applying what the Word of God says. In Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12, and in verse 1, it says, "And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service." Jesus Christ became a dead sacrifice so we could live. Here in Romans, it says we are to be living sacrifices. And that's what it says here. It's our logical or reasonable service. You know, I've been married to my wife a long time there, and she's been a great wife for me. But once in a while, she gives me a honey-do list. You know what that is? Honey-do list. And she'll send me to the store. So say she sends me to the store and she says, "You know what, Steve, I need some peas. Can you go to the store and buy some peas?" So I go to the ShopRite and I'm, or the whatever store you go, and I'm over there and I'm looking for peas. She didn't really tell me what kind of peas to get. There's frozen peas, there's canned peas, there's fresh peas, there's oriental peas, there's all kind of things, and I'm confused. You know why? Because there's so many choices that I'm just confused and I don't know what to do because there's so many darn peas and I don't know what to buy. It's confusing. That's the end of my teaching. Goodbye. You know, suppose I went to another store and there was only one type of pea in the store. Some kind of peas, maybe frozen peas. There's no other choice. There's no other choice. And you know what? I just see those peas there. I buy them, and it's so simple because there's no other logical choice. If Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the leader of life, there is no other choice. Father, thank you for this wonderful word that you've given us. Thank you for your love and goodness to us. And thanks for the privilege of knowing you and knowing your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.